a lot of experience to Jamal Adams, because, you know, Shaquem and Shaquille Griffin have been there for a little bit now. Jamal Adams has now been there. Well, is now there, and now they're going to build some sort of chemistry. So Seattle, the Legion of Boom may be back.
Welcome to Ethan and Mike Sports Show.
Another episode, Ethan and Mike Sports Show, episode 33, everybody. Welcome back. We got Mike back on the show today. How you been doing, Mike, as always?
And as always, I'm doing good. I'm chilling, big chilling. This past weekend, I just had my orientation for the University of Miami, for those of you who don't know by now, that I'm going there in January. And if you didn't know, I've said this like 15 times already. Like, where have you been?
I think you said this to the point where everyone knows you're going to the University of Miami. It's like, can you say something different in Miami?
Okay, fine. I'm going to be a hurricane there.
You look like you're wearing Hoodie Mello, which, speaking of Hoodie Mellos, we have the NBA coming back today.
Yes! Yes!
The NBA back to everybody.
Yes! But I'm sorry for all of you who I just busted your eardrums, but I'm excited. I've been waiting for 3 long months for the NBA to be coming back. So I cannot contain my excitement. So carry on.
Yeah, but always, Mike, it's glad for you to come back on the show, as always.
Glad to be back.
Ethan and Mike without Ethan and Mike right on the show.
It wouldn't. It just wouldn't.
And let's now start talking about our first topic of the day. So, how COVID-19 has treated the sports world. So, as of right now. Right now, since July 20th, the NBA has not have gotten anybody tested with COVID-19 since then. And they already just did the scrimmages from this past couple of days now. And they're about to kick it off today, as the day we are recording this, on a Thursday. Which you guys will hear this on a Sunday. But there's been no cases so far in the NBA. But however, when you hear about the Major League Baseball, on the other hand, we have, as of right now, 19 Marlins with COVID-19. And the Phillies had to cancel their game because they did play them this past weekend, which is very bizarre how the baseball world is taken affected by this, but not the Korean baseball, let's say, Mike, for example. The Korean baseball, you really haven't heard any much from them, you know. But in Major League Baseball, you hear it then. And then it comes to show, is like, what is the difference between how the NBA is taking it and how Major League Baseball is taking it? What is your opinion on it? I want to hear your opinion first on this.
Well, first of all, if the KBO doesn't have any positive cases, and they've been playing for, like, what, like 3 months now? And the MLB has been back for literally less than a week. And we already have like 20 cases.
Yeah, they couldn't last a whole weekend without
them. What the hell are we doing? Like, what are they doing that's keeping them so safe and secure? Because they're already starting to allow fans back in their stadiums. I don't know if you know this, but they are.
For baseball?
Like 10% capacity.
Yeah, I don't think baseball would be a good idea, especially since already 19 Marlins already got the COVID-19 already as of today. As we speak.
Yeah, and Harold Ramirez, who's actually one of the Marlins to test positive, said that he likes the idea of creating an MLB bubble, kind of like what the NBA is doing. And also, two members of the Philly staff have also tested positive, so Citizens Bank Park shut down all operations until further notice.
They just canceled the Blue Jays matchup against them. They did cancel their series against them, so that's another news. But I just feel what's so different between how the NBA is taking it and the Major League Baseball is the NBA is taking it really seriously. They're in the bubble. They're in Disney, and they're tracking their players all the time. They have them separated, everything like that. I think just everybody together is what's making it work, you know. when you have everybody separate and you're relying on the team because they have to, because when you're not in the bubble and you're a team, you can't like have everybody together. There's always going to be someone like, okay, I need to see my wife. I need to see my kids. I need to see him, her, or I have to go to this, you know? It's not like controlling everybody together, you know? Like giving that commitment, which is always the reason why people can opt out too. Which is the same thing when we go to NFL perspective, you know? The NFL doesn't want to do a bubble. They want to do like a testing. Have you ever seen the Rams, for example? The Rams, how they're going to track their players? They're going to wear something in the wristband right here. They put a little tracker inside there to test their players out, how they condition everything. And it's very interesting because I want to see how the NFL takes it in the next 2 months from now, because that's when the regular season will start. It's back in September, which it really feels that right now the NBA can survive this. I feel like the NBA will survive this as of right now, how the NBA is dealing with COVID. I don't know how much long Major League Baseball can take it. Because right now, it's kind of in jeopardy. Not as much because there's one team. There's two teams, at least, as of right now.
Just one in majority.
Yeah, because the other baseball teams are taking it pretty good right now. We haven't heard much from them as of right now, at least. But it just kind of shows, is this going to be the same thing with the NFL? Because the NFL is contact. Let's keep it real.
Right. The NFL is the biggest contact sport. Right,
biggest
now.
Contact. I played it before, so I know how this goes.
Basketball,
it's contact, but it's not like
slight to minimal contact. But football is like pure contact.
Consistency contact. There's no play. There's no contact unless someone false start offsides. One, two.
And I really want to see how the players feel about like wearing those face shields for their masks. Honestly, I think it would look pretty cool. Like they like design like. The face, like the bottom part of the face mask, to actually look like, like one of those masks that you would see someone wearing, like a SWAT team member or something like that, with like the little breathing holes right here. I feel like that'd be really cool, and I just want to see how they react to it because the NFL already proposed the idea of like having a face shield.
Yeah.
So that's basically up to the players to see if they want to do that or not.
Yeah, that I can agree on. It's just kind of a crazy scenario is how we're living in right now, Mike, with COVID-19 and the sports world coming back together, which is kind of like a crazy idea to think about how sports is coming back. But the NBA is taking a good job. But speaking of the NBA, they're returning today, starting tonight's matchup with the Jazz and Pelicans, which will now introduce, coming back on the show, Floridian Picks. So those of you that are new to the show, that are questioning, what is Floridian Picks? So Floridian Picks is how we take out the matchups. Let's say, like, for example, the Pelicans and the Jazz. We decide who's better in this matchup and why we say so, and our knowledge on those two teams right there. That's how Floridian Picks works, and we're from Florida, so what better way is any Miami Vice sports news topics is to pick our who's going to win that day. So
yeah, and for – and I don't mean to cut you off, Ethan, but for those of you who have been sticking around ever since episode one, you know already about Floridian Picks. We used to do them all the time whenever we were together, and there were a whole bunch of sports. Like the XFL was real common, beginning stages of the NBA, a little bit of the midway point of the NFL because it was like right there. And there wasn't any baseball at the time, so we really couldn't do those picks. But for those of you who are familiar with the topic of Floridian Picks, we're happy that you guys are excited that they're back. But we're also excited for you guys who are new to see how these Floridian Picks work.
Exactly. So we're going to start with our first matchup that is starting today, Mike, as we speak for today's Thursday. The Jazz versus Pelicans. They're both fighting to stay afloat in the playoffs. The Jazz are in it, but the Pelicans are not. In that matchup, we got Zion, and then they're on the Jazz, if I remember correctly. Help me out, Mike. Who was the guy?
It's Rudy Gobert and
the one that started
off. Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell, that was the guy.
Yeah, those were the two that basically started.
I had a brain freeze right there. I was not sure.
Yeah, it was Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell that sparked the whole shutdown for 3 months, and now
Yeah.
When now look at where we are. They both have tested negative multiple times. Thankfully, we're glad to see that they're okay.
Yep.
But of course, as much as we're glad to see that the NBA is back, the health and safety of the players is way more important, because basketball is, it is just a game in a sense, but like player wise, it's a lot more than a game. But I'll go ahead and start us off.
Who's winning the first matchup today?
I like this matchup. It's a good matchup, pitted up between two relatively young teams, young players. Although I will say that the Pelicans have a bit more experience, I think the Jazz are going to come out firing on all cylinders in this game, because we all know that Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell have been eager to get back on the basketball court since they first tested positive, which sparked the whole shutdown. However, I am looking at Zion to really – for Zion, Lonzo, and all those young guys on the Pelicans to come in and say, hold on, this is our time now, especially because we got the player of the future in Zion Williamson and a relatively young core, of course, that being with Lonzo in his second or third season, Jackson Hayes in his rookie season.
Brandon Ingram.
Drew Holiday is there as well. So he has plenty of veteran experience. But in terms of who I think is going to win, it's going to be a really good fight, pretty even throughout. I think, like I said earlier, the Jazz are going to come out firing on all cylinders, but then the Pelicans are going to make a really good run late, and I think they're going to snap it at the end. So I'm going to take New Orleans over Utah in this one.
I actually like that pick. I actually do go for the Pelicans. I really see the Pelicans coming out fire because they're desperate to make the playoffs, because the team that's ahead of them is the Grizzlies. So A win today against the Jazz is an improvement to show legitimacy. And then Zion's coming back. He's healthy. It's been a couple of months now. So he's back in the groove. So I really say the Pelicans will take this dub for the win for tonight's first matchup. And then the second matchup, which is going to be interesting, is the Battle of the LA. The Lakers and Clippers at 9 o'clock Eastern time on Thursday, which is today as we record here. Now, between those two teams, you got LeBron, who has some little white hairs in his beard, versus Kawhi Leonard. Now, both teams are great. I do really like the Lakers in this matchup, because I think the Lakers, they already lost a player because he opted out. I just feel that the Lakers will have more firepower because LeBron's really serious about getting that title, the title to come to L.A. for Kobe. And I really think he's going to go on fire tonight with Alex Caruso, your favorite man.
Caruso!
You know, you've been here in a while. You know who Alex Caruso is. Fan favorite Michaels. But he's going to go off with Anthony Davis, or I would like to call him Anthony Javar Davis, as LeBron says.
Oh, my gosh. You saw the Twitter tweet as well. You saw the tweet.
But I do say it was going to be a close game, but I like the Lakers this matchup, Mike.
Yeah, I second that. I really like this game as a whole, because not only was it the beginning, the first game of the 2019 season, and which the Lakers lost, I believe. Right? I think they lost. The Lakers lost.
Yeah,
they did lose. And now it's going to be one of the matches that restarts the season. So how ironic is that? I think that the Lakers have really been connecting on all cylinders, especially with signing Dion Waiters and now J.R. Smith. The LeBron and JR reunion from Cleveland.
Dion Waiters the other day, not to cut you off, but Dion Waiters was going off in the scrimmage game, 18 points, 5 assists, 5 rebounds.
Yeah, and so was JR. JR was doing really well too. So, it's going to be really tough, especially with the physicality that the Clippers play with, especially with PG and Kawhi on the defensive end. Patrick and the Beverly. Lakers are really aggressive on offense. It's going to be a shootout. But I'm actually going to have the Lakers in this one as well.
Lakers? All right. I had a feeling you were going to say Clippers. I don't know why, but that's good. All right. Okay, I see you. Now we're going to a Friday matchup now. So this is a Friday matchup. This is going to be interesting because this is the top seeds of the East, the Celtics and the Bucks. That's going to be really interesting now. And that's at 6:30 on Friday. What do you think on that, Mike?
That's a very good matchup. You know, I think if Boston really wants to make a run, they're going to need to win this game. But, I mean, can anyone stop Giannis in this league? Like, who? I can probably count in one hand how many guys in the NBA can stop Giannis. Maybe even less than how many on one hand.
Kawhi Leonard and the Raptors stopped him.
Well, yeah, like Pascal Siakam can probably stop him. LeBron, maybe. There's a few guys, but you know, Milwaukee. If they want to really like seal their position at the top of the Eastern Conference, then they're going to need to dominate this game, and that's exactly what I think they're going to do. I think Milwaukee is going to come out here in the first scrimmage game, or no, not the first scrimmage game, their first game of the restart, and I think they're going to win anywhere between 10 and 15. Don't get me wrong, I like Boston a lot, even though I'm a Heat fan. I just really like the way they play, especially with Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Kemba, and I'm just going to take Milwaukee in this game. I think they're just too experienced in the postseason. Actually, no, I lied, because Boston has, 17 titles? But I just think that they have more experience and more chemistry-wise. So I think I'm just going to take Milwaukee in this one.
You got to take Milwaukee? I'm actually going to differ with you, actually, with this one. I really feel to stop Giannis, you have to stop him early on or so he doesn't get hot. Right. As you know, for example, with our Toronto Raptors. As soon as you stop him and you start double-teaming him, he doesn't go on fire.
He gets neutralized.
He gets neutralized easily. Which the Celtics has that opportunity to do that against Milwaukee. I understand it's a regular season game. It's not the playoffs. But if you really want to stop Giannis, it's like that. Which, it's going to be a tough game. This is really a tough game because the Celtics and the Bucks are really two good teams, especially. But I would say it's a close one. I wouldn't say it that much far off. What you said, like 10 to 15. Like, I'd say like more 5 to 10 points. But I say Celtics. Yeah. I say Celtics wins it clean and simple.
Yeah, that's fair.
And now we're going to our team now, Miami Heat. This is on a Saturday versus Denver Nuggets. So to talk about the two teams before I just pick, the Heat did a pretty impressive look through the scrimmages. I want to say that. I didn't like how last game, how it was kind of sluggish defense.
We're not talking. We don't want to talk about that last game.
Yeah, talk our goods and lows, Mike. So we're gonna talk about it. Our shooting wasn't the greatest that game, but we did have some good plays. We did have got a 4-point play. If you remember that game, Jay Crowder with a 4-point play.
Right? I do.
So you got that, but Tyler Hero's been impressive. Duncan Robinson's still on fire, especially the first game. Duncan Robinson's still there. Hero's still there. So we still got players. Jimmy Butler is still there. Bam Bam came back on that last scrimmage. So,
and Kendrick Nunn as well.
Kendrick Nunn. It's good that Tyler Hero's back because we were missing him a lot. And it was a major key. Miles Leonard, too. Miles Leonard, we were missing him a lot.
Yes, Miles Leonard, too.
As soon as when those two came down, we were, like, kind of going up and down, you know. That's how I really feel on that. And now when we go to the Denver Nuggets, they've been really impressive during the scrimmages. If you've seen the past few games, especially against up against the Wizards, for example, that game, Bobo was going really off that game. Kept blocking his guy twice in the game. And an impressive dunk. He did an alley-oop to himself, really. He tried to do, like, one of those jelly type of throws in, but he missed it, but he dunked it in right into the shot, which you guys can see that on Instagram, by the way. But Bobo's been really impressive. Now, who do I got in this game in this 1 o'clock matchup? Wow. This is a tough one because Denver was really impressive. I say it's going to be a close one. I'm going to say Miami pulls up the upset. But it's going to be really close. It's going to be like a game winner. I really see that. Although I might be like jinxing myself, but because how Miami played for the last scrimmage, if they be like that, then we're gonna lose. But if our defense was like game one of the scrimmage, then yeah, we will win that game. That's just how I feel. But I'll go with Miami, just for my instinct. I almost went for Denver, but if Miami plays sluggish defense and starts missing shots, then we're going to lose. But if we come as game one scrimmage, then yes, we will win this game. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I do say that Denver's a very good team. All credit goes to them, especially with the way that Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, Paul Millsap, and all of those young, talented guys have been playing.
Well,
Paul Millsap really isn't young, but he's a veteran and he's been playing well. It's going to be a really tough game, like you said. It's going to be very close. I think this one could possibly be going to overtime. But I was very surprised when you said that the Heat were going to be an upset. So, with that being said, I am taking your Miami.
All right, I like that. The only reason why I said it was an upset is because how we were playing from last game and the other one.
Yeah, those were scrimmages.
They were scrimmages, but I just have a feeling they're gonna favor Denver in this game because of how impressive Denver was in the scrimmages. That's why I said we're with an upset. That's why I say. But they're both two great teams, so it's not like it's like the Knicks and versus LeBron James something, you know, for the LA Lakers,
right,
you know. Exactly. That's a different story, you know. Imagine Steph Curry in the bubble. Imagine. If the Golden State wasn't that bad this year. If you just like picture that for a second.
Oh my gosh. Then everybody would be screwed.
True, but Golden State wasn't as the same, you know.
Nope.
They lost a lot of key players. But,
well, I mean, it doesn't help that Klay Thompson's been hurt the whole year.
That too. And Steph Curry was out for a quiet time, quite a while.
Yeah, that's also true.
By the time Curry got back, it wasn't really much.
They were already out of it.
They're already out of it. But that's enough NBA news for today. Now we're going to the football topic now. We're going to start with Mike's university, Miami Hurricanes. They have made their starter, King. Is their new starting quarterback. Diaz says he had a great camp. He felt confident on him leading Miami this season. If there's a season in college football, at least right now they are leaning to, like, not playing college football, you know.
Well, it's not they're not leaning towards it.
They're saying spring might be work, but they have no idea. They're still – it's up in the air still. It's highly unlikely. They've been starting, like, training camp. It's not like they haven't.
Yeah, and it's not like – they're not trying to shy away from playing a season. I'm pretty sure that they do want to get a season in.
Mm-hmm.
As for right now, they're just considering playing a 10-game conference-only schedule.
Only conference, so it's pretty much like six
games. And what I'm very surprised is that Notre Dame is going to be playing with the ACC this year. Because for those of you who don't know, Notre Dame is an independent.
Yeah,
they don't have a specified conference.
You know what's funny about Notre Dame? They're independent in the football, but in any other sport catalog, they're an ACC.
I have noticed.
Which is kind of odd, but, you know, it is what it is with their football team and all that. It's not like their football team is garbage. Their football team.
Yeah, no, they're a great football team.
They're a great football team. Although we finally beat their behinds the other year, if you remember that.
We crushed their soul.
We crushed them. So that was a good satisfaction because I remember the other time when we played them, we got like defeated at their house. It was like,
yeah,
a close one. We don't talk about that quarterback.
Mm-mm.
If I remember correctly, it was Brad Kaya.
Yeah, well, Brad Kaya was pretty good. Brad Kaya was pretty good, to be fair. It was Malik Rozier that was really bad. I mean, 2017 was okay, but 2018 was
Yeah. Like, it was like one of those one-year wonder, and then when, like,
yeah, one-hit wonder.
After we lost to Pittsburgh, we were at number two. It's been a while since
we were at number two, 10-0 when we faced Pitt.
And then we tumbled down.
We lost 24-10, and then we ended up
we lost to Clemson.
We got crushed in the ACC championship against Clemson.
And then we lost to Wisconsin.
On our home turf, in our own stadium.
In the Orange Bowl.
In our own bowl game. In our own freaking bowl game.
You can tell tell that Mike still has this in his mind.
Oh, Mark Richt was so bad. Oh.
It's all right, Mike. If there's a season, we'll try to beat people from the ACC.
Just watch. Within 2 or 3 years, the Miami Hurricanes will win another national championship. I guarantee it.
All right. We're going to write that as a note. We're going to quote that right there. We're definitely quoting that. But in other topic news from that, for that topic that Mike has, which I will definitely highlight, Patrick Mahomes is investing his money, his $500 million deal. He's a minority owner of the Kansas City Royals. Not too long ago, the Kansas City Royals did won the World Series, if you remember.
Yep, 2015. Yeah, 2015.
Not too long ago, they won. But they've been sluggish. They've been sluggish ever since that World Series. Now, I think it's a good investment for Patrick Mahomes for his money. It's a good investment. It's giving back to his city, really. And he's trying to invest on the Kansas City Royals. Kind of be a minority because he has a lot of money to spend that with. Why not invest it, you know? Kind of like what I talked about last episode. It's like investing into stuff, you know?
Yeah, and I don't know if you saw this meme, but it was a picture of Patrick Mahomes going like this, like in like the Super Bowl. And like the quote said, literally the only man to have a good year in 2020 is Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
He won the Super Bowl in only his third season, right?
Third season. Quarterback.
Yeah, third season. Which is second as a starter. And then he gets up the richest contract in NFL history. And then he now gets to be part of the Royals organization. Like, what? How can you have a better year than that, especially with all that's going on? You can't make this stuff up.
Recently, Mike, they did their top 100 for the top 100 NFL players as of right now.
Yeah, Mahomes is number 3.
Number 4, actually.
Oh, yeah, they put him at 4.
Number 4. Lamar Jackson's at number 1. And I believe Wilson's at number 2.
Yeah, I think so.
Which, don't get me wrong, both of those guys are great players. But
the way
that Mahomes had a year coming back from those playoffs, I think Mahomes would have been number 2. Because I understand why they put Jackson at 1, because of how impressive he did from coming from the at season to really productive season, although they did lose to the Titans in the playoffs, which was kind of disappointing. But I can understand why they put Jackson at 1. Which there's no argument about that. But I still really think that Mahomes should have been higher than 4.
Yeah, I think he could have been at least 2 or 3.
2 or 1, I would say. 2 or 1.
Yeah. If not one, then 2 or 3.
One of those. I think that would have been much impressive than at 4. To me, at least.
Yeah.
To me, at least. But going to Dolphins news now, Tua passes physical. So that's a good news for us. Tua, he was impressive. Like, I'll tell you, like, during the draft, he was walking fine. He was running. He was throwing the ball perfectly. So I was like, he's going to pass that physical.
Yeah. He looks in good shape. He looks like he's ready to play football.
Like, he was on his A game. You can tell he was on his A game. He really wants to impress, which I know we already discussed. I know for me, at least, I want to see Fitzpatrick play in there. And then Tua's not going to be in the bench all year, like how Mahomes
was. No.
Because Fitzpatrick can go from Fitzmagic to Fitztragic in any second. So there's going to be a point in time where Tua's going to come in, which another point that Bogart mentioned to me yesterday was, what's crazy is that if COVID like kind of starts affecting the NFL, is it a good idea to start bringing in like third strings and practice squad people in the NFL?
And real quick, shout out to Bogart Scott Free, GMM Network. Big fan of his.
Quick shout out there. But just
awesome content. Go sub to him. Link will be in the description.
But just to answer the question though, Mike, do you really see like third string and practice squad people coming up if that happens?
If it's necessary, then yes. Or even if it's not necessary, yes, because you always want to be prepared. And you always want to make sure that the health and safety of your players and of yourself is important more than anything else. So if it does come down to that, then, yeah, I think it would be a great idea. If not, it would always be nice to have a backup plan.
Very true. I really see that happening. the way that how the NFL with a bunch of contact, I can see that happen, and hopefully you don't shut down. But I have that feeling we will eventually have to shut down the NFL. I have that feeling. Once the NFL really starts off, I really think it's going to happen. I don't know why, but I really see that happening. You know? Excuse me. But the last topic we're going to talk about today, Mike, is the trade deal that happened last weekend.
This past week, yeah, this week.
Last weekend, which was the Seattle and the Jets trade, where Jamal Adams finally got traded to Seattle. Not the Cowboys, Seattle.
Dallas fans are salty.
But what Seattle got was Jamal Adams. They still have him as a rookie year contract. They don't have to pay him right
Correct.
Now.
Correct.
Next year.
Yeah, they don't have any current plans to extend him, reasonably so. They'll young, probably wait until they get young, their cap space and then go from there.
He's a young 24-year-old. While the Jets got two first-round picks, one for this year, one for the third round this year, next year, first round. Plus Bradley McDonald, if that's how you pronounce it correctly. And now, when you look at the two, I want to go first here on this one. So, Who won this trade? Seattle or the Jets? To me, right now, I say Seattle wins this. The reason why I say that is because Seattle has a young safety. He's 24. He's on his rookie year contract. He's been very impressive. In the AFC East, as you know, we're in the AFC. Mm-hmm. You know how Jamal Adams works.
Yeah.
Good safety. He's a good player. Now, when I look at the Jets, when they get their picks, it's kind of like us when we got our picks, when we trade a Tunsil and Stills away.
Picks, oh, yeah.
It's like, is the picks going to be mattered? Will they be impressive in the future? You know, that's what Douglas said on what the Jets general manager said, that we're looking for the future wise. So we get those picks there. Now, are those picks going to be good picks is the question. Because they're going to have, like, two first-round picks, one from Seattle, which Seattle usually finishes around, like, the playoffs. So it's going to be, like, the 20-something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're not usually one of those teams that are, like, all the way in the back. They're, like,
five. Right. They're typically anywhere between – they're technically somewhere in
– 18 to 30.
Yeah. They're technically either in the like, early – like, late teens – Or mid twenties,
or late twenties.
Mid or late twenties. More than likely, yes.
So that's pretty much how their first rounds are going to be for the Jets. So they're going to have like a late first round, the way how Seattle works. And then the Jets, I don't know. They don't really their defense, the running defense. That's always amazing. Their problem is coverage.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I feel with the Jets, because the Jets can stop the run no matter what. They're really good on the run. It's just the passing game. They're really, really not as great right there, to my expense, at least, how I know how the Jets work. But I just feel like Seattle has everything in peace, you know, for the future right now. So that's why I trust in Seattle, not the Jets with Adam Gase as the head coach as of right now. That's how I feel. I think Seattle won this trade in general. Now, in the future, you got to see what the Jets pick, if they even stay with Sam Darnold. Because some people are already expecting, should we keep Sam Darnold right now or should we not, if we have a good pick? Who knows? That's just speculations with Adam Gase. Who knows? But as of right now, I want to throw it to you now, Mike. Who do you think?
Yeah, and I kind of want to lean off of what you're saying with Sam Darnold. You can't blame it all entirely on Sam Darnold.
No. I'm just saying speculation.
Yeah, I know. And then part of it is on the offensive line, part of it is on the coaching staff, and part of it is, of course, on your receivers. You know, your quarterback trusts you to go out there and make a play on the football. You go out there and make a play on the football. No, if you at least try and then it gets intercepted, okay, that's fine. If you catch it, great. No, run your ass into the end zone, or at least to a first down. So, you know. And then some of it's on the coaching staff. Of course, you got to call the right plays. You got to trust your quarterback to go out there and make sure that he knows what he's doing, who he's throwing to, and what the play is. And the offensive line, you just got to give him time, man. You got to give him time to survey the field, look for the best possible option to throw it to. Even give him the option to scramble if you have to, if there's nobody open. You just got to make time. Now, in terms of the trade, I'm going to second what you said and say that Seattle won this trade. Now, in terms of like future wise and young teams, the Jets won because they have two future first round picks.
If they're not bust. And,
right. Hopefully they're not bust, of course. And they also have a young safety in Bradley McDougal. So, you know, and the guys in Seattle are going to bring a lot of experience to Jamal Adams because, you know, Shaquem and Shaquille Griffin have been there for a little bit now. Jamal Adams has now been there. Well, is now there, and now they're going to build some sort of chemistry. So, Seattle, the Legion of Boom may be back. They're not back just yet, but they may be back.
Okay. I like that point. That's how we're going to end this off. Thank you guys for listening to Ethan and Mike Sports Show. I'm your host, Ethan. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and all of our major podcasts, and especially on YouTube. If you're listening on YouTube, I really appreciate it. We have a great run on YouTube. I love the fans there. You guys, and we'll see you next time. Have a good one, guys.